Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Reveille, reveille, reveille!
Welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today we have three rounds of the magazine. Round number one, Congress sometimes care about the right things, and a lot of that is because what the VFW is doing along the way. Round number two, standing outside for 90 minutes and waiting for any event is outrageous unless it's one of these three things that we're going to pick out from American or military history. And finally, round number three, the Taliban is beefing with Iran, and you'll never guess whose gear they're using in that fight. Sleepy Joe probably knows, I bet. Sleepy Joe knows. Boy. I love a good Sleepy Joe. I don't know if I'll ever stop loving a Sleepy Joe reference. I just do. I do want a Sloppy Joe as well.
But Sleepy Joe's just kind of adorable. He just kind of is fumbling around. He's misspeaking all the time.
My dad's name is Joe, and that guy will take a nap anywhere. He is also. There are a lot of Sleepy Joes out there. I'll tell you what.
There is. I think it comes along with the old territory.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequilacation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard seltzer beverage company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
And that being said, because they are a presenting partner, when I first started working with the VFW, I thought, this shit's for olds, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's the perception I think a lot of us have.
Yeah, like your perceptions is all, it's the people in the hat, like the old school Garrison Cap piss covers, walking around with whatever VFW, whatever number. They have some rank on it. I never know which rank it is. Is it an adjutant? What's an adjutant? What's commander? Who's higher? I have no idea. But as I've been going through with the VFW, I've learned that it's not just a place for crushing whiskeys, drinking some New Amsterdam vodka, ripping heaters on the inside. It is all of that. Don't get me wrong. They have that. And do you guys know of a VFW thing that they do around you that you think, well, I had no idea that they would do that kind of thing? Off the top of your head? Mine, for instance.
Kansas had I saw they had a comedy show the other night, and it's Kansas.
Yeah, we did.
Kansas chapter is all young people, and the other thing, the one that we helped fix up in Gladwin, PA, it's all service in the community. And it's all age ranges, and they do just so much helping other groups in the community that it's like, oh, this is like just a cool volunteer organization almost. Yeah.
I viewed it kind of like going to the VFW is kind of like going to a birthday party as a parent, like a kid that you don't know. And you go in and you have your expectations based on where the kid goes to school, what kind of kid they are, like if you hear them playing video games with your kid and what they're going through. And you have terrible expectations. You're like, this party is going to be full with nothing but nerds. It's going to be a bunch of people I don't care about. And then you walk in, you start sitting around. You're like, oh, this is actually a really great time. There's a lot of people here who have the same age kids, like-minded, interested, stuff like that. To me, that's exactly what the VFW is. However, it's not just the community. They're doing things for the community as well, which I think is even more important, probably on par with important with the camaraderie aspect. So I wanted to go through four in round number one, four different things that the VFW is doing that even Cons, when he read it earlier, had no idea.
I didn't know
that they were doing this stuff.
Big picture, the VFW was working on behalf of veterans, lobbying Congress, trying to improve things for veterans. I legit thought they were just the standalone locations where veterans came to hang out and be around other veterans. Had no idea about all the work they're doing.
And like almost all the good things we have are a result of the VFW and their organizing power. Yeah, they're incredible.
It is. So there's four different things that they're doing just this year. And there's a list. I went through a list of the things that they're doing and the different types of legislation that they're tracking. There's like 35 of them that are huge initiatives just in this Congress alone, which I was surprised about. The first one that I came on, K-12 Kate, you're going through pregnancy right now. Not going through it. You are pregnant.
No, I'm going through
going
it.
Going through it? Yeah, you're going through anything, it. Going through
a little bit of pregnancy right now. Poop. Yeah.
Oh.
I didn't know we were doing poop goofing. We're not even
it's
like
constipation,
10 minutes
man.
In.
It's part of pregnancy, pal. It's been
it is.
Every poop's a blessing.
How we doing hemorrhoid style? We doing okay?
Oh, Tara, my asshole got ruined 2 years ago. It'll never be the same.
Who's back of the week? Kate's hemorrhoids. Nice.
Always.
Anything about that, Kate, or is that it? No?
No, I'm
so
looking
anyways,
forward to how this will help me.
Today's show is brought to you by our friends at Proper Wild. If you suffer from symptoms of ADHD like I do, which includes a lack of focus, no productivity, your brain is constantly wandering about all over the place, you need to check out Proper Wild's Clean All Day Energy Shot. Proper Wild uses organic caffeine stacked with L-theanine, which has clinically been proven to way to boost your energy, focus, and productivity without those jitters or the crash. There's no preservatives, no artificial flavors, no horrible chemicals, just a natural tasting energy shot with clean ingredients that work. I've been going through buying a home, and every single thing, it feels like you're keeping up at night. You're constantly tired. You're talking with your spouse about what should we do if this happens? The inspection's going on that. And the next thing you know, you got to wake up and do the whole thing again, and you need a little jolt in the morning. That's exactly what Proper Wild is. Go to properwild.com/barstool to try out Proper Wild for 30% off. No, it is going to help you. So when you're going through your appointments, how difficult is it for you to get one of those appointments?
No, I mean, normally just because I'm an idiot and I'm not organized, it takes me a while. And sometimes there's my VA now is pretty good, but it's normally a couple weeks wait for anything that I need. Yeah.
And even the appointment making process, like from what I know, even friends that have gone through it, they're like, dude, getting in the VA and doing these appointments, getting one lined up, it could take forever. You had those experience cons?
Yeah. No, and it's not even just like getting the one appointment. It's like, if you need something else and then they check their calendar for their availability and you're like, oh yeah, we can help you with that in 3 weeks. And, you know, thankfully I'm mostly okay. But if there was a serious need that I needed immediate attention, you know, 3 weeks isn't going to cut it.
No, definitely not. And that now, so one of the things that they're trying to pass, it's called HR 41, House Resolution 41. This bill would require the Department of Veteran Affairs to ensure that when a veteran is enrolled in the VA healthcare system and you contact the VA by phone, you don't get off the phone until you have an appointment. Like, they will get you an appointment no matter what if you're calling. I think that's incredible. Like, the difference there, because I've called, like, the dentist, and they'll be like, oh, we don't have any spots for 4 months. They not only will call and get you an appointment, but they'll get one if it's outside of your area, if you're able to go. They'll find you the fastest appointment that you can get into. I think that's incredible. That's a big
huge,
change.
And especially because if you're somebody like me who struggles with mental health from time to time, being told there's nothing we can do right now, call back later, guess what? I'm never calling back.
Never.
And then things start to pile up more and more and more and more, and you get even worse. And so that is huge to have somebody make sure we're not getting off the phone until we have something set for you. And we can find you something sooner. Yeah.
Even that making that first phone call about mental health stuff is very, very difficult. Like getting to the point where you're like, I need help in this. And you get yourself kind of over that cusp of making the call and then to not have any response. It feels like there was a viral video that went down a couple weeks ago.
Saw that.
And the guy was in his truck he was in tears talking about how he couldn't get the help that he needed, that all he wanted was his help. This is the type of legislation that helps that. Like, he got out of there, didn't have an appointment, didn't see any end in sight, really. So he was just broken down.
I feel like
these
they
are
don't
people
care.
That are strong. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now it feels like if this legislation goes through, it's a completely different scenario because they would, by law, have to give you an appointment. That's one thing that the House is trying to do. The second one is called Girard's Law Act, and this bill will require the Department of Veteran Affairs to provide burial and funeral allowance for a veteran who dies from a non-service-connected disability in a home or setting that the veteran was receiving VA or hospice care. I think a lot of times when you're 40s, 30s like you guys are, you're not really thinking about end-of-life shit that much, right? Like, I've never looked into what kind of home I'd want to be in if, God forbid, I needed to do that type of thing. But it's an awful scenario that a lot of veterans are in. My biological dad was in that scenario where he had a really bad stroke, wasn't able to communicate, wasn't able to walk, wasn't able to do anything for himself, and having to go through the VA and make it really difficult process to get him the burial rights that he deserved was a hard process. And sometimes people that had non-service connected things, they weren't allowed to at all. Mm-hmm. And so then the family has to not only pay for their care, but pay for the burial. And if you're in a situation where it's a dire like financial situation, having those $5,000-$10,000 added on to what you're already going through with the loss of a loved one is a lot to deal with. So I think that's great legislation as well.
This one just feels like, well, and I think a lot of these actually, but this one just feels so much like common sense. Like it's very possible that veterans were going to pass away for something that wasn't related to their time in the service. So that shouldn't mean that, oh, well, we're not going to help you, because it doesn't, you know, say on paper that this was service related. So I think this is fantastic.
And it's specifically for veterans who are currently in VA hospice care, whether they're in a VA nursing home or what. So if you're not, different story. But if you are, and in high school, I volunteered at our local VA hospital. It was in the hospice and like the hospice and dementia ward. And a lot of times too, this is incredibly sad, but not all of them had family that was coming to check in and care for them. So after they pass, it's good to know these veterans are going to be cared for with a proper burial no matter what. And that's just kind of a really good thing to know. So Gerald's Law, that's a good one too.
Yeah, and I would have thought that this already was in place. There are several that I thought were already happening. And it's people like the VFW who are tracking this shit because they're like, no, you fucking dummies on 0 Block 32. They're not. We're tracking it. You're not tracking.
Yeah, thankfully.
Which seems to be pretty on par, on theme for what we've been doing lately. The next one, we've talked about this one before. It's the Majored Richard Starr Act. And this one provides combat disability for uniformed service retirees with fewer than 20 years of credible service. And they may concurrently receive, without reduction, the veteran disability compensation.
Say this to me like plus. I'm a fucking idiot.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically what this means is if you were retired from the military due to combat-related injuries, like me, for instance. I could put myself in this, like, getting
retired. You're a perfect example of this. Just use yourself.
Yeah.
Right. So, and I didn't want to, but I'll use myself because it applies to me. So, I was retired at a rate of 100% fully in total based on my gunshot wound and traumatic brain injury, which you guys have been lucky enough to experience my memory loss over the course of the years. So, we have those types of issues and PTSD that are directly related to combat injuries. And if you're retired for those combat related injuries, now you had, so when I was getting out of the Marine Corps, they brought me two different packages when I went to the separation board. One of which was from the VA, the compensation that the VA would give me. The other one was from the Marine Corps and what they would retire me at. And you always just go with the higher.
Yeah.
For instance, whenever I was getting out, I was a staff sergeant. So my retirement pay would have been based off of 20 years as a staff sergeant, which is an E6, and that came out to around $1,800 a month. And then you have the VA side, and that could be $3,200, $3,600, depending on what year you're getting out. And then combat fucking kickers, essentially, of what you get after that. So right now, you get like $4,400. With this Major Richard Starr Act, the intent is for people who are like me to also get your retirement pay. So you would get the VA and, it's not and or, it is and both.
Okay.
Like you can get both of them at the same time.
Yeah.
And what that's for is for people like me, like where, again, where I would have stayed in 20 years if I was given the opportunity to, that's exactly what I've wanted to do. They are saying you shouldn't have to lose on that portion of your retirement for the career that you thought you were going to have because you were injured in combat. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get both. You're going to get retirement and money from the VA.
Got it.
And that number is important, that qualifier, because for those who don't know, you don't get retirement pay in the military unless you serve 20 years or more.
Yeah.
So that's why this is a big distinction.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a huge distinction, and it'll affect currently right now, based off what the VFW's numbers are, there's 50,000 people in the United States that affects.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot,
which is significant.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a large amount of people for sure.
It is, and it's a large amount of money to commit. But the VFW is committed. That was actually one of their big three that we talked about whenever we went around this year. And Taffer, man, like nobody is doing more for veterans in the Senate than Senator Taffer. Like he's on this, like the co-sponsor for most of these Senate things, it's because of Taffer, man.
I thought you were talking about John Taffer from the restaurant show. I was like, he just busted into Congress and was like, fix yourselves. Fix this stuff for vets.
I could be. Maybe
that'd
I'm
be
all.
I would watch the shit
name.
Out of that show. VA Rescue.
Would that would be incredible.
Yeah.
Awesome. I might be fucking his name up, too.
That's okay.
Look up who the senator from Montana is. I'm pretty sure it's Taffer.
The last one is the Caring for Survivors Act of 2023.
Tester?
Yeah, Tester. Not Taffer. It's yeah. not John Taffer.
No.
John Tester. John Tester.
But I would watch the
it.
Shit out of
I'm glad that we didn't end the episode. Ow, chaps, it was actually this. Yeah, right here.
That's the show we should do,
alone.
Though. We should
Try
have John
it.
Taffer go to different VAs well, and fix up their
you
ratings.
You know what?
And,
yeah.
Him Chaps, in your defense, John Taffer, John Tester, you know, those are pretty close. So again,
those are
head,
close, yeah. Those
I see how close. You get those mixed up.
Thank you, Cons, for coming to my defense, yeah. just mm-hmm. like John Tester did for veterans.
Sorry, what was the last one, Kate? Is the Caring for Survivors Act. And so basically, if you are improving and you're helping survivors, you will get better. You'll get better care. Like, they'll care for you better. If you're caring for your veteran, they're going to care for you better financially and with more support. So I think that's a really fun
yeah, so
thing
what
too.
This essentially is yeah. talking about is if your family member was severely disabled or they are injured in a combat zone, things like that, that they want to help you as well. Some of those helpings could be service for education. Some of them could be hospice care, assistance at home, just whatever makes your life as the caregiver or the care person who did give care, mm-hmm. They want to help you too because you deserve that. Like you put – a lot of times spouses get put on the hook if somebody is severely disabled or they're severely injured in combat or non-combat related. It falls on their spouse to kind of take care of them, right? Like if,
right.
Like if Cons, if you came home and even in a New York accident, like if you were – amputee, if you lost your foot, it would be Alex that was that's taking care of you a lot.
Right.
Same thing with me and Annalise. Like, she would be, God forbid she had to do that because yeah. I would whine. Oh, my God, I would whine, dude.
No, caregivers are so very vital to the veteran community, and it's very, very prevalent. And speaking of senators, the Elizabeth Dole Foundation, Senator Elizabeth Dole, is focused on supporting caregivers. So it's yep. a very big
– That was another one in the list of the 35 or whatever that I saw, and that was just – 35 off the front page. They're doing so much more. So mm-hmm. I wanted to give a little bit of a landscape of what the VFW is doing. It's not just hanging out. So because they're doing so many things, we want to help out those who are hanging out because that's a big part of it too. So if you are involved with the VFW, we really want you to go to barstoolsports.com/winsforwarriors to see if your organization, your local chapter qualifies for a grant. We really want to do this. We've been talking. I mean, shit. We've been talking about this what for like
yeah, a few years
two
now.
Years.
Because
yeah.
like, look, yeah. fixing up Kansas VFW brought in the younger generation. You still have the older mm-hmm. generation there too. But like, fixing up the common areas does make a difference. Making things more habitable for everybody brings in more people. Again, to bring up that Gladwin. They got a ton of new members once everything was fixed up because people want to be there. They want to hang out there. So it's awesome that New Amsterdam yeah. is going to work to fix up
and listen,
the common
I'm going to speak something into existence, yeah. I think, right now. Speaking of John Taffer, ooh. Maybe we get John Taffer involved and he helps with the renovation in terms of like the design and the eye for everything. I don't know. We have some folks that I know that have done things with him in the past. I don't know. Maybe we'll reach out to John Taffer and he'll come help too. We'll see.
Gordon Ramsay's too big of a coward to try to make really fancy MRE meals. He won't come
exactly.
on and try to cook a chicken tetrazzini. He won't.
John Taffer, I'm asking for your help.
There we go. All right, let's go on to round number two. Today's show is also brought to you by Omaha Steaks. With Father's Day coming right around the corner, the Father's Day experts at Omaha Steaks have made it easy to put a smile on the big guy's face this summer with hand-selected packages. Packages can include the delicious fork tender bacon wrap filet mignons or an unbelievable gourmet grillable like an air-chilled boneless chicken breast. We got burgers, jumbo franks, and many more favorites. And don't forget to save room for desserts. Most gift package comes with four delicious caramel apple tartlets. I am getting hungry just thinking about it, folks. And with Omaha Steaks, you're giving the gift of the best beef in the world. Not only are their steaks naturally aged for ultimate tenderness, juiciness, and flavor, But Omaha Steaks is five generations of a family-owned expertise. That means uncompromising quality you can trust. This Father's Day, show him the love with only the only gift that's unforgettable as he is, the mouth-watering perfection of Omaha Steaks. From perfectly aged, oh-so-tender steaks to hand-selected gift packages, Omaha Steaks make it easy to give Dad what he really wants. Order today and get $30 off with promo code ZERO, and every purchase is backed by their unconditional 100% money-back guarantees. Minimum order may be required. See the site for details. Cons, you were down at the shore this weekend, and you saw some things that you just did not like.
Well, you know, as I'm getting older and up there in age, you know, my experiences down the shore have changed, and one of those things that has changed is I don't spend as much time in bars as I used to, which is, you know, great. I'm very happy spending time with my lovely wife, with family and friends, and not going to bars. But one thing we like to do, especially on holiday weekends, is drive around down the shore and just look at the lines now that have somehow popped up in the last few years. And this is not like me just having, you know, happy memories. I'm telling you, we didn't wait in lines, not because we were like, oh cool, we got to skip lines. There just weren't lines at all of these popular bars down the shore the way there are now. And I was like, I need somebody waiting in this line to explain to me why you're willing to wait 90 minutes, sometimes 2 hours. So you're just sober, standing outside, waiting in a line. No bar, and my tweet, I said it was like, no bar in the history of bars is worth waiting 90 minutes to 2 hours to get into.
And to, by the time you get in there, be nut to butt and have to wait another 30 minutes every time you want a beer. Like, no way, man. I'm trying to get hammered.
I'd rather just go drink behind a 7-Eleven.
No, me
too. Right. There's so many other options to do. And Alex, you know, she made a pretty astute observation. It's not even necessarily about going to the bar, it's being able to like post on your social media that you were at that bar,
right?
And you were there.
But it's like intentionally, it's like intentionally going to SIF and waiting in line to turn in a flak jacket. Except, you know, maybe we'll get laid at the end.
But it just didn't make sense to me that I don't understand. That was pretty deep cut there. But waiting 2 hours to get inside anywhere.
If you're only listening to audio, you got to switch the video. So, because Kate, when she says some things, sometimes she just puts her head down and shakes it. That was a good moment.
Yeah. Anyway.
So that's what's going. Con did make that point that you don't stand out. I've long said that the only thing that I would wait in line for 2 hours would probably be something devastating, like the crucifixion or something like that. Something that was very, very important that you wanted to be a witness of, that you could say, hey, I was there. I was there. I was at the game where Manny Ramirez hit his 500th home run. I was there. So that was fun. But I wanted to play a little game, or ask the folks, not the folks really, but Kate and Cons, if they could go, if they had to wait for 90 minutes to 2 hours to go to any single event in U.S. history or be a part of any conversation, which ones would they be? Cons, we're going to start with you. First up, you can be in any conversation, American or military history. Which one is it?
Okay. I'll just say this one because I think at least Chaps, you might have this on your list too. But I would wait 90 minutes to 2 hours in line if that meant I could be in the Situation Room during the Bin Laden raid.
Yeah. I was going to have that one on there, but I didn't because I knew Cons was going to have that.
Yeah,
so I wanted to be able to talk to about 9 different things instead of 8.
Yeah, I think that one would just be so intense. Certainly knowing the outcome now obviously makes it that much more intense and enjoyable from a perspective of just being there, a fly on the wall and watching. But that, I think that'd be a really cool room to be in.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
Anyway,
who's next?
Me.
Okay, looked like she was going
to
say
something. I'm ready to go.
All right, Kay, what do you got?
I'm interjecting myself into each situation, okay?
Right.
I'm doing Washington crossing the Delaware.
Okay.
And right as they're about to get in their little boats, and by the way, just watching them get in their little boats in the middle of the night and seeing George Washington.
With those fancy outfits.
And their little flags and all their stuff. I assume it's just like the painting where he's crossing the Delaware.
Yeah.
And I would be like, psst.
Sit down, George. It's wavy out here.
You know,
what are we doing?
You know those tiny little electric troller motors?
Yeah.
That you could put? I'm like, guys, as they're getting on each boat, I'm just going to say, trust me.
So Kate's just completely changing this whole hypothetical.
No, I like it. Keep going, Kate. She's got a troll
Kate's
motor.
Talking about it from like a time travel aspect.
And they don't know what a troll motor is.
They
right?
don't. They have no idea. They have no idea. I'm like, guys, you're gonna be fucking flying across the Delaware tonight. You deserve it. It's the holidays. Have a little treat. And they'll just be
watch
like,
this. People are going to be talking about that shit for a long time. And yeah. then Google on your phone, Washington crosses the Delaware.
So you would be willing to Tiny wait 2 hours just to hand out, just to hand them motors? You'd wait 2 hours?
Buddy, I would wait motors? 24 hours to see that wig okay. in person. Wow. To see George Washington okay. in person? Yeah, I would. Yes. And okay. I would also have
and
a big...
you're also talking, you're talking to the woman who slept all night in a Chick-fil-A parking lot so that she could get free Chick-fil-A for a year.
Years worth of sandwiches. Yes, I was, and it was February in Philadelphia, so yes, oh. I think I would. I'd also okay, have a big so they, trash oh. bag of big socks for them because I heard their shoes were terrible.
All right, mine first one. I'm going back to the old Revolutionary War time too, but I want to be in the room when King George III finds out that the Declaration of Independence has been signed.
That like, would be great!
Because he'd be like, what the fuck is going on? Because think about these royals, and even more so back in the day. These folks don't put toothpaste on their toothbrushes. So to hear somebody is rebelling whenever colonization had taken over the entire world, and to be like, these fucks in America don't want to do that? Because he went to the Parliament. The next week when he found out about the Declaration of Independence being signed, and he still said, my colonies, my kingdoms, my subjects, the tyranny of the chiefs, the founders. What are the founders? I am the founders. I am King George III. That had to be an all-time temper.
That would have been a great tirade. Yeah.
I want to know who had to tell him. It's awkward, too, to be like, sir, you're not going to believe what happened 5 weeks ago.
Yeah,
right.
I'd call
time
in sick
gap.
That day.
Yeah, well, we're gonna attack them a year from now. Then we're sending our ships right now.
Right. Crazy. So that's mine, King George III conversation. Cons, what do you got next?
Okay, I have a couple more, a couple that are a little morbid, but I really do think they would have been really riveting situations to watch from afar, and I would wait.
Mm-hmm.
Right at on 9/11, when President Bush, I think he was in a bunker in Nebraska, like whatever that conversation was, like trying to figure out, all right, what's happening, who did it, what's going to be next, how do
you don't
we want
to be the guy with the book who comes in whenever he's yeah. talking oh,
yeah.
to him.
But
in
basically,
the
like
class.
To be a fly on the wall for that 24-hour span where everything was just coming through, yeah, that would be fascinating.
Yep. I'll wait in line for that for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good one, Kate.
Lewis and Clark. When they finally crest the last little hill at the mouth of the Columbia River and they see the Pacific Ocean, and they're like, holy fucking shit, we made
That's
it, man.
That's a cool ocean.
That's a cool ocean. I guess this is it, man. And then this is where I come out of the trees with two boogie boards. And I say, wait, okay. It's about to get better. It's about to get even better. You think the ocean's cool now? Wait till you're cresting a cool boy on one of these things. Now watch your nipples. Watch your
oh,
nipples.
Yeah.
They'll chafe.
There's no way Lewis and Clark and longtime Stooley Sacagawea would have any idea about that.
No.
And they definitely don't have wetsuits.
No, but I've been to the beach, the final beach that they made it to, you know, and it's really cool. I was amazed at how beautiful it was. And I just picture you've been going through the fucking middle of America in a wagon for however many, and all of a sudden you're like, holy shit. It just had to be a cool moment. Margaritas.
I mean, good thing they didn't
around.
Go the other way, too, right, Kate? Like, if you started in California, end up in New York, and you go to the Hudson, and
you're
like,
oh.
This bitch is dirty as hell. Oh. You can't even swim in it.
Yep. Very What's good to go that here? Way. And also, too, like, Lewis and Clark, or if I could go back in time and do the Oregon Trail, maybe this is ego, but I know I would live. I know I would live. I think everyone else in my wagon would probably die, but I know I would make it. I would just love to
I think
do
you
it.
Would be pretty susceptible to dysentery, Kate.
But I would make it. I've diarrhea is just part of my life. Not now. I would kill for it, but.
Diarrhea? Oh.
I can't poop.
Yeah, I get it, because the constipation
yeah.
thing.
All right.
My next one, fly on the wall, the entire Clinton-Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Yeah.
I think those conversations behind closed doors had to be insane. Like, imagine when Hillary found out that Bill stuck a cigar in Monica's pussy and then smoked it.
I think specifically that combo when those two had to hash it out when it all came to light. But yeah, I don't even know. I don't even want to speculate what that was like. It could be she was in pure blind rage. It could be, well, here's another example of
packing his shit up, throwing it on the White House lawn. Yeah. Like, the whole thing would have been bananas. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. You could have fucked anybody, and you did it in the Oval Office.
It's Bill and Hillary in the White House bedroom that night, laying in bed, and Chaps laying in between them with the sheets up to his eyes. I'm like,
it's getting juicy. Yeah. Do you guys, we were all pretty young when this happened. Guess the time period that was involved here. Do you guys remember? Cons, you guess first.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that came to light like 97 and played out through like 98, right?
No.
Oh,
Kate?
Okay.
Ooh. I just remember my parents were super strict and CCD was telling me, blowjobs are a no-go, Missy. Blowjobs mm-hmm. are a no-go. And so I thought it was the most scandalous shit that had ever happened, ever. I was like, they're going to kill him. They're going to kill Bill Clinton for this blowjob thing. And Monica. Right. They're going to tar and feather
And him. Also, side note, I think a blowjob is way more intimate than just regular sex. Right? Like, you're putting that bad boy on your mouth.
Nah, I'm daydreaming the whole time. Thinking about it.
Oh, okay. Kate, any guess for how long?
I was like, how long the blowjob was? I don't know. I usually stop around minute 30. 96? I feel like it was around the blizzard of 96.
And then when did it end?
98.
All right, so here's the actual time frame. Blew my mind when I was reading it this morning. Bill and Monica first started their little sexual escapades November of 1995.
Wow.
Okay. President Clinton was impeached by the House in February of 1999.
What?
It's so dumb, yeah. Man.
Wow.
4 years,
I definitely
years,
don't remember
dude.
It being 4 years worth of, oh my goodness, that's crazy.
A lot of freak-a-leaks in the press.
And imagine if it was covered on Twitter.
Oh my gosh.
If you had this, the clips that would be on Twitter and TikTok would blow your dick off. I mean, it's a real shame. It's a shame that we didn't have that for the O.J. Simpson trial. Like, we needed Twitter for both of those.
And then in hindsight, looking back at how we treated all those women... Any woman who spoke out against a politician, it was like, she's a whore. It's like, wait a minute.
Right.
Wait a minute.
Like, wasn't Monica like 20 years old or something crazy
was,
like that?
Yeah.
She was very young. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, that would go different too. They'd have Bill Clinton up in the fucking streets.
Right? You know, just 23-year-old Kate, and the president's like a, maybe wants to put a Marlboro up there. I'm curious.
I mean, the president of the United States with his debonair voice and his little charm of him biting on his lips and, like, going back and forth. I think if he has that going on, Bill Clinton, you got to give him the jump. Like, he's the president, has the saxophone. He's Harvard Law educated. He used to be the two-time governor of fucking Arkansas. And he says the little line, I'm from Hope. I'm here to give you hope. It's a good-ass line. No wonder he's getting his dick sucked all over the place. I'd suck it.
Right.
Cons, what about you for the third one?
All right, for my third one, I obviously we take it through the context. We know how these things play out now. I'd wait in a long-ass line for the 1980 Miracle on Ice to be at that game, be in the building.
Good one.
Yep. Yeah, I didn't even think about including sports. Good job,
yep.
Cons.
Yeah. Taking it to Russia.
That's a good one. Kate, last one?
I'm on the grassy knoll, and this time I've got a little camcorder. Mm-hmm. But I don't tell anybody until this year when I'm buying a home. And I say, who's going to pay me for it? Who's going to pay me for this tape? Because I got
this. Oh, you get so much money?
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine how much fuck Jerry would pay to have the rights to that.
Exactly. So,
just an enormous sum. Or Mr. Beast, one of those folks have it, you'd be
And actually, I'd be the only one who knew. So I would get there super early. I would have my blanket at the tip of the knoll. Tip of the knoll. Hit little hidden camera, ready to go. Maybe
You could come in with your... Go ahead.
Well, I feel like in hindsight, maybe I should be like, duck.
I'm
going to poke a hole in this one, though. I'm going to poke a hole. There wasn't even a line to get in there then. Like, it was just like an open area in Dallas. You could have just went. There was no line.
Well, there wasn't a line to get in when they were talking about Bill getting his dick sucked either.
There might have been. You don't know. There was probably a
there
line.
Probably
maybe
was.
Would
have people would have known that was
Slick
happening.
Willy.
Yeah, but no, that would be a good one. I would definitely get
I also that. Think it would be a great thing for us to get clicks on YouTube if Kate was there right whenever he got shot and was like, Jackie, your husband just got shot through the dome. Your thoughts. And that would have been a good interview to have.
A little bit of a tangent, though, really quickly. Sorry. No, I don't want to get too deep. I don't want to get too deep into what people think about what happens when you die, not to be morbid. But in when I'm you know, a believer in heaven, I like to think that when you get to heaven, all the stuff that's unanswered when you're alive gets answered. So, like, you know, we're going to play it out, and you're going to tell me exactly what happened on November 22nd, 1963.
If I don't get to go in a bubble and watch the dinosaurs die out, I'd be so upset.
Yeah.
I need to know. Yeah, that would be upsetting. I need to know.
So that means St. Peter would be sitting with me and be like, all right, this is how all the poop leaves O'Hare International Airport.
Right,
this is
exactly. How we
get I think you could probably figure that out now.
I can't. The amount that sewer system, any sewer system, blows my mind. Like, how does it get there? Where does it go?
I think those are questions you could probably have answered right now.
All right. My last one is the Yalta Conference. It was right at the end of World War II, where you had Franklin Roosevelt, you had Churchill and Stalin that were getting together to figure out what the future of Europe was going to be. Like, those three guys are very influential in American history, so I think that would be an interesting part.
It'd be cool, to be able to have an inside scoop on it that no one else did. Like, and you wouldn't, this is a weird fact, you wouldn't believe this. They crushed 72 pigs in a blanket during that. They kept bringing them these little snacks, and Stalin ate a fucking mountain of dip, of queso dip.
Every time Stalin gets stumped, he just pulls out another jar of pickles.
You know, just to have those little inside, because those are little factoids that I'd be into. That's what I want to know.
Yep, the Prussian king of pickles, that's what they call him. All right, let's move on. Go ahead. All right, let's move on to round number three. Kate, what do we have here? This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, so it's easy to get caught up in what everyone else needs from you and never take a moment to think about what you need from yourself. It is, like I said earlier in the show, I am moving right now, and it's creating all kinds of problems because I'm moving from here, I'm buying a house there, selling a house here, going back and forth with different realtors, going back and forth with different attorneys, the whole thing. And I need to talk to somebody. And when I do, that's why I go to BetterHelp. When we spend all of our time giving, it can lead us feeling stretched and burned out, running on empty. Therapy is an opportunity to intentionally put yourself first. It can give you the tools to find more balance, clarity, intention in your life so that you can keep supporting others while also thriving as an individual. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Ready to try it out? Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapy and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/zero today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/zero.
So Iran and the Taliban in Afghanistan are beefing big time. And do you know what they're fighting about? If you had to guess, what is Iran fighting with Afghanistan about? What's the big beef here?
Hummus.
No.
That was my guess, too.
I have no idea what they'd be fighting.
I really don't know.
It's not racist to talk about hummus. It's all over the world. Hummus is special.
Anyways,
wow, okay.
It's
water. They're fighting over water. Oh. Yeah, for the last 3 years, Afghanistan has been in a serious drought. If you've been, you know, the whole interior, it's a giant network of canals. Like, that is the only way they survive and can farm and everything. And the Helmand River is stretched to the fucking limit, dude. Every few years, it's like, oh no, the Taliban's going to blow up the dam and blah, blah, blah. It'd be like devastating to the entire country. So the Helmand River flows from Afghanistan into Iran and is dammed up on the Afghanistan side. And in May, Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi called on the Taliban to stop restricting the flow of water. It's kind of like what we do with the Colorado River going into Mexico. We suck that thing dry. And then by the time it gets to Mexico, it used to help out Mexico a ton too. And now they're like, what the fuck? You dried up the river. It's like a creek by the time it gets down here. This is fucking us over. And that's what Iran is doing too. So
by the way, I had no idea you were a crick pronouncer.
Oh, yeah, that's big, what I was worrying
big
about.
Crick, roof, all that good stuff. But anyway, it's a huge issue. And you've seen in countries across the world, like, water is becoming like a big fucking deal. So Iran is pissed. They're obviously the stronger country. And it led to a gunfight breaking out between Iran guards on the border with Taliban fighters over the weekend. The fighting killed three people. So this is like, that's fucking war, man. You start shooting over the borders and killing people. It's a huge deal. And what kind of weaponry do you think the Taliban was using against Iran?
My guess is something that was left over in a Connex that was unlocked.
Correct. An American Humvee fully kitted out with an M240 machine gun. That is so, in a way, now is the Taliban on our side? Because we're beefing with Iran all the time, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
So now they're using our weapons. Taliban, go to town. Beef it up. Take our weapons and fight with Iran. Do the dirty work for us. You're
we
fine.
We don't care. Yeah, do whatever.
Yeah, but they were also obviously using AK-style rifles, RPGs to attack the Iranian position on the border. 3 people dead on Saturday. No one's sure. I couldn't find reports saying which side they were dead. But the Taliban says at least one of its fighters were killed. And Iran is saying all the deaths were on Iran's side. So either way, this could be end up being real bad. So I don't know what will happen with this, but
yeah.
Do you guys Taliban know who, has plenty of weapons and it's all ours. So just
thought
that
was that was to be expected. We weren't going to bring it all home. Do you guys know who Michael Berry is? The guy
who,
you know, Michael Berry, the guy who predicted, you know, the housing market crash.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then
I follow his stock picks and they stink.
Well, you got to just be patient, I think, because he said the next bubble is water. So it's kind of in line with this story that water is, I think we take it for granted here because we all just have it readily available and it's just not.
It's going to be causing some
major. I don't understand how you run out of water. Honestly, I don't. Like, if you have the 3 phases of life and you have your evaporation, you have your whatever the other 2 is, yeah, how the fuck do you lose it?
How do you run out of fresh water is the question.
Well, it's right. I mean, shouldn't it?
If the weather, if the weather doesn't bring enough snow and rain across the lands, then it's not usable, really. It's like,
yeah, because it's like
buckets for like
75% of the earth being covered by water, but it's not.
And as the weather pattern changes, maybe only certain countries are getting that fresh water that they need, and other countries are relying on the rivers, and it's not blah blah. It's a whole thing.
Read a book.
Read a book.
I don't like it. I think that we should have endless water, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Also, why don't we just build a bunch of humidifiers? Like, if I can pull out like a couple ounces out of my office every day because it's so humid, why can't you just take big humidifiers in like Louisiana and get up all that water?
That's a good point.
Great point.
All right, let's move on to some safe rounds and alibis. Kate, today we'll start with you.
I was out all last week in Myrtle Beach with Pat's family, my baby dad's family. And we rented a house down there because his parents live down there. So his brother and sister and all their kids and their friends all came. And we proceeded to have the only bad weather in the entire country for the entire time. Like 40 mile an hour winds, intense rainfall, nonstop the entire time. And if you've ever been in a beach house with an extended family, notably children under 12, My God. No, it was great to see them. It was great to, Cash didn't know the difference. He's 2. So he was like having a blast because there were stairs in the house. Like he didn't give a fuck. And we still went out in the rain every day to the beach and like poked at jellyfish and sticks and all kinds of shit. So that was fun.
I used to get mad when my family would be like, oh, we can't go swimming. It's raining. It's like, we're getting wet.
Yeah, that's silly.
Oh, my God. Down the Jersey Shore growing up, whenever it would rain, the Acme parking lot would flood. And our parents would be like, take your boogie boards.
Excuse me, the what parking lot?
The Acme, I know.
There's no end in there.
But like we used to like play in like probably poopy water a lot.
That's fine.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, that's my safe round. That was it. But glad to be back. Memorial Day, went to a little parade in town. Our town had a little, I stumble upon these parades in my town. I never know they're happening. And I just stumble upon them. Cash and I were going to buy a donut and there were people with flags standing on the sidewalk. I said, what's this? And
I was honestly wondering how that happened. I was like, does Kate have like a fucking alert where she knows
parade
all the parades? It seems like you're at a parade like every other week.
I saw, because Kat, we like, I live in town since we're in a small apartment. We're never in it and we're always just walking the town. And so I just stumble upon the shit all the time. But it was really cute. Chatted up a bunch of veterans and had a good time. Got a ton of dum-dums. Sick. But I think it's cool that that stuff still happens all across the country. Pretty neat. How about you guys?
Cons?
So yeah, a few things. Number one, hearing that Kate is a Crick and an Acme. person is.
I was making up Acme just for Jersey Shore purposes. I don't. Not well, that.
Okay, I've never heard it pronounced that way. Must be a South Jersey Shore thing. Anyway, there is something happening upcoming this week, next week, that is going to be a first in the history of major sports. It is going to be a first. So the two teams facing off in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, the Panthers and the Golden Knights, both owners, West Point graduates. No finals in any major sport has had two owners from the same school face off with their teams facing off against one another. First time ever.
That's a good fun fact. I admit it.
Yeah, like so. Shout to Vinny Viola and Bill Foley. Interesting.
Vinny Viola. My money's on that guy.
Yeah, that's a great name. Yeah.
And then, you know, I have a major, major gripe that I have to put out there right now. Okay. And it is directly
learning.
We're on the precipice of kicking rocks.
Wow.
And this is directed 1000% at our colleague, PFT.
Okay.
We have been asking, pleading even for a ride by the Blue Angels or Thunderbirds. We've wanted for how long has our show been going on now, Chaps?
Almost seven years.
7 years we've been asking for a ride in a jet. I even said I'd say nice things about the Air Force and the Navy if they gave us a ride. 7 years we've been asking nicely. PFT got lined up to be in an F-18 with the Blue Angels, and he just blew it off. He's like, oh, I got to go close on my house. Dude.
Priorities.
Prioritize better. These sorts of rides are not a dime a dozen. I think he's a little
thousands
too big for
his- of people close every day on a house. There's only six or seven that get to go up a day in a Blue Angel.
I cannot believe. I'm disgusted that he passed on this after as much as we've been wanting to do that.
Or that he didn't think to give you a wig and sunglasses and send you as him.
Yeah. Like, reach out, dude. Like, hey, I know you've been wanting to do this for a long time. So I'm just right now, I want PFT to be on notice. I'm not happy with him.
I'm going to take that tough. For me, this week I got to go with Roan. Roan came with me to the Patrol Base Abate Gala. It was an awesome event.
Yeah.
And like hanging out with all kinds of folks, Tom Schumann and a bunch of other people that were there as well. It was a great time.
I saw you were wearing sneakers in your suit.
I was and looked good. Got many compliments on it. I always
by a bunch of people who don't know.
People who are fancy boys like you, kind. Like some guy, they were like, "Whoa, you look so much more comfortable," and it's a good look. Not for me to argue, but I mean, you have to admit, I've been in sports coats a lot this year, way more than in years past.
Combined this year more than like the six previous years I've known you.
Yeah, I would say that's probably accurate. Anyway, so I was at this gala. And Tom Schumann, who was leading it and like talking about the organization because he is the founder, and he ended his speech with a toast where instead of giving like a long toast himself, he said that he wanted to do a toast where you said the name of a fallen service members who you were friends with or acquainted with. And of course, you guys know I went with Chris Diaz, like who was my best friend. He was killed in Afghanistan. And I said his name. Well, about 5 minutes later, Ron and I were sitting there eating our delicious fish and having some key lime pie. And a guy comes up to me and he is like, "Hey, was it you that said Chris Diaz?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he was like, "I was actually in the recon platoon the day that he was killed. I was there on the task force that we went on. I was a couple people behind the door on him." And I was really like blown away that that's how it went down. So he was like, "Eventually, I became really good friends with the Diaz family and with his brother, Jeremy." And I was like, "Really?" And he was like, "Yeah, just a couple weeks ago, I was in Italy with Jeremy and his family. I was the best man in Jeremy's wedding." And I was like, "What?" Like, talk about small world. So then I went outside and he was like, "Come with me." So I went outside. We FaceTimed Jeremy. I got to talk to how Jeremy was, how Chris's kids were doing. Gave me the contact to his mom and dad again that I had lost when I switched phones. Like all these different connections at a place where we're going to four connections for military people. It was unbelievable the coincidence that happened that night. And it was one of those things, you know, like sometimes I look forward to Memorial Day, sometimes I don't. Mm-hmm. It was one of those things that it was like, this is the reason why we do it. Like, it's this brotherhood right here that will never, ever be replicated in whatever job that you have. Like, knowing that somebody was there. And we were in the hallway, we were having a couple drinks, and he was telling me some of his favorite DS stories. I was telling him some of mine. And I thought in that moment, in the Harvard Club in New York City, it was the perfect example of what Memorial Day should be.
Yeah.
Honoring the legacy, talking about funny moments instead of just the heroic shit, because everybody views somebody who's KIA as some last action hero, when in fact they were normal people who went to do an abnormal job and had abnormal effects of that job. And now it's time for us to bring things back to a normalcy and talk about them like they were normal people, because they 1,000% were. So I was just very, very thankful to be in the room. But that guy, got his number, going to try to get together with him again, share more stories. I think it was just incredible.
That's very cool. I saw that you tweeted that last night, and I thought that was cool. I didn't realize some of the other details. Do you guys think that happens more often in the Marines just because it's the smallest branch?
No, I think when there's loss, the bonds and things connected there, I think every branch looks out for...
No, I just mean like the likelihood that you would know someone.
Well, then you run into somebody that served.
I think it depends on like MOS. Like the dog handler MOS is just so small across. And because I taught and like was a kennel master and shit like that, I'm going to know more people. And then you have the reconnaissance community in the Marine Corps that's small. And then MARSOC inside that is even smaller. So the likelihood of dog handlers who have worked in those communities is pretty strong. But not the likelihood of being one of 250 people in a fucking room and be there on the day that it was just one of those things where going back to my hotel room that night, I was like, I can't believe that happened. Like, I can't believe it actually. And I was telling Roan, and Roan, by the way, unbelievable guy. Like, he went to this scenario. Like, I texted him the morning of, and I was like, hey, or the night before, I was like, hey, the person I was going to take to this event had to not go. Do you want to go with me? And he was within 10 seconds. He was like, absolutely. And he went, he sat there, and to be a civilian person in a room full of Marines, and not just, but like combat Marines, Marines have done significant shit in combat, is not an easy thing to do. And like everything else, he did it extremely well, was very respectful. Giving out
money.
Ron is
one of the classiest, most graceful people, I think, in this company, like hands down.
He's just good dude. Incredibly kind. And I'm very thankful that he went and got to see some of the things that is so important to us, like caring for this community, which we hope to continue to do on this New Amsterdam Vodka campaign. Again, go to barstoolsports.com/winsforwarriors to nominate your VFW for this grant. You're not going to regret it. And we'll be out to see you if your VFW gets it. Until we see you next time. That was weird.
I will see you there.
We'll see you fuckers later. Sound the retreat.